Okay, we are up to page Kuf Samach Zayin, page Kuf Samach Zayin, Simen Pei Vav Halacha Dalet. Pei Vav Halacha Dalet. We are in the middle of the laws of Rechitza, bathing on Shabbos. Halacha Dalet says, Harechet Tzarech Lizor Shaloi Lischet Sa'aroi, a person who does wash his hands, his face, and water comes in contact with his hair and his beard, has to be careful not to squeeze his hair. And this is also true. We learned last week that a person, b'diavad, is allowed to wash his entire body in cold water or lukewarm water. We mentioned last week that at times a person is allowed even to be tovel in the mikveh. We'll have it again over here under the shi'arim mitzvah halacha that b'diavad a person can immerse his entire body in cold or lukewarm water, or at least wash his head. And in this instance, the person's hair will be soaking wet. So here it says that when in the event the person's hair is soaking, we have to be careful not to squeeze your hair. Schita applies to hair as well. Schita does not only apply to a case where water is absorbed in a fiber, in wool, in linen, in material. But schita applies even when water is trapped in between hair. Hair does not absorb liquid, but there is water trapped in between each individual hair. So it's possible to squeeze multiple hairs and then water comes out. That also is included in the prohibition of schita. So harechet tzarech lizor shelo lischet sa'aroi, chen tzarech lizor shelo lasut. You're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos. If you have an indoor swimming pool and a reshus sayachid and a makam that's mukaf ledira, you're not allowed to go swimming. Why? Also, Losha B'Shabbos of Yom Tov. Why is it also to go swimming on Shabbos? Because you may come to make for yourself a life jacket or some type of flotation device. You may come make a raft, a flotation device. You may come to build. That will be Melacha Derais of Boine, Machem Patish. As a Gzer, I'm not coming to build such an object. You're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos at all, even in a Rishus where there's no problem of carrying and the like. Also, you're not allowed to cause to float things. If there are thorns floating on the water, you want to brush them away. You're not allowed to cause the things that are floating on the water to move to the side, because the same idea, because that will come to lead to creating a flotation device. Once you're going to enter the water and you're going to start moving things around in the water, you may come to swim, and swimming will lead to building a utensil. Now it goes to a new halacha. If a person does indeed wash his hands and feet or body in a way that's permitted in a place where you are not allowed to be metaltal, in other words, you're in a place where it's a karmelis, so you're not allowed to travel more than dalet amos in the karmelis. So before a person leaves the water, you should brush off the excess water that is upon your body and your hair, lenogvam yofe, to dry them well. Shelo yashir olav mayim, water should not remain in his body. Yotziem mereshus lereshus, because by doing so, you may come to carry the water. Any excess water that is upon your body is considered to be a masa, as a burden. And if you're going to go from one reshus to another reshus, from a karmelis to a reshus ayachid, or from a karmelis to a reshus aram, or from a reshus ayachid to a reshus aram, and in all the different scenarios, that is a melacha deraisa. That is a melacha idraban, a melacha deraisa. And he goes to point out, v'gam hanorbi atzmot tzochli zoshlo yisus amayim shalav aramas. The water of the river itself, you have to be careful not to travel more than dalet amos. Waki anor hu a karmelis, because stam a river is a karmelis, and a karmelis one is not allowed to travel more than dalet amos. So you're not allowed to walk with excess water upon your body along the bank of the river more than dalet amos. Olafi she'ein kulam yodim li zoyer. Now he goes on to say over here, since people are not careful, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of different things which a person can make a mistake. Al Kain, he writes over here, Chumra, the Mishnah Berurah brings down this Chumra as well. Nispashet Haminug B'Medinos Elu, the Kitzur is writing that it became the custom in our countries. Shaloi Lirchoitz Klal B'Shabbos Afilu B'Tzoinim. After this entire simon, he concludes that it's the custom, a minug, not to bathe your entire body even with cold water. Hot water we discussed. That is usur. Hot water is usur. Even water that's been heated from before Shabbos is usur. As a gzeira, satakana that comes already from the time of the goinim, gzeira is the balan. You may come to heat up water. Once you get used to having hot water on Shabbos to bathe your body, you may the next Shabbos come to actually heat up water on Shabbos itself, which involves the melacha deraisa of bishul. But cold water, there's no problem. You're not going to come to heat up water. Even if you get used to bathing in cold water, there's nothing to worry about. The only thing that you have to worry about is schita. You may come to squeeze out your hair. You may come to carry extra water on your body more than dalet amos. You may come to violate the laws of libun. If you have a lot of water and you have a very thin, delicate towel, a linen towel, the towel may be saturated with water from your body, and that can involve a malach of libun. So since not everyone is so meticulous in these three inyanim of libun and schita and hoitzah, therefore it is the custom not to bathe in cold water at all on Shabbos. Ki im letzorch mitzvah, the only exception is for a mitzvah. For example, when isha nida kidil lekamon simen kuf samach beis, the very end of Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, he discusses the laws of ishus and the laws of nida. Siv zayin v'ish lekiryo, and a man also b'dieved on Shabbos is allowed to go to mikvah if he is tameh. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch halacha. Ois hay in the previous column, shlo lischoit saroy ayin be Aleph stands for Be'eshel Avram. Shakasav Avshu Noigeshloluchos Ponim B'Makom Saros. Even though he has the custom not to wash his face on the part of his face that has hair, Brak B'Makom Shein Shem Sami Kamakom Inshem Isluchos Ponim Gam B'Makom Saros. A person does not need to be machmir. A person is allowed to wash the entire face, even if it means going to wash his beard and wash part of his hair. It's mutter. Gam B'Makom Saros. Suchemo Kain Lenagiv Ponim Gam Imchu Barushu Begeder Psikresha L'Schita Saros. And he's also allowed to dry his face, even if he's certain that he may come to pull out some hairs. The aschita besaros klachayadai alidei shemesim akoyva gam ken yesh lachol. Even if you may come to squeeze out here by putting on your hat, or putting on your yarmulke, or putting on doing something, but since you're not doing these things deliberately, I'm doing these things she'enay mischavin. I'm not having kavanah to squeeze out my hair. I'm only these things that it's going to be squeezed out, or even this that a hair may fall out. It's done without kavanah, so therefore it's mutter because mikaradin it's not a melacha deray. You taking out hairs just for taking hairs falling out is not a melacha deraisa. It has to be taken out for a constructive purpose, and hairs falling out is not a constructive purpose. I don't need the hair to make a garment. I'm not using the hair for anything constructive. So at best, it's an issur b'derabanan. And here I'm doing it shaloi b'kavana, and I'm doing it for kavod Shabbos. All of these things together, he says, you can be mekel. You can wash your face. You can wash your beard. You can wash your hair, and just don't try with kavana to pull out any hairs or do schita. V'ayin b'maisa rabba hagra linyan tvila b'Shabbos. Now we go back to discussing this that we discussed last week with regard to going to mikvah Shabbos. The mitzvah tzarich litpol b'tvilas ezra, a person who needs to go to mikvah Shabbos because of tefillas Ezra, yitl b'motzei Shabbos v'lo b'Shabbos ki yevshel yitzor shelo yavu l'idei schita. The gra is very machmir. The gra holds a person should not go to mikvah for carry even on Shabbos. That's the shita. The Aimog and Avram. Shemutri disagrees. He does not pass like the Gra. Shemutri litvol b'lekiryoy b'Shabbos. He holds that a person that can't go to mikvah on Shabbos. Chama shakotzim b'shul nachem b'shulchan aruch. V'ayim b'mishnabura b'shem ha'achroinim demut litvol rak yizor shlo yavul deit schita. The mishnabura is mekel. He says that you can go to mikvah on Shabbos for carry. V'ayim sham b'beir halacha. Sherech b'zeh. V'ayim b'mikvah arichayim. Mashakotza b'zeh. V'harichu kvar b'zeh kol Gurei Huari, all of the lions of the area, all of his Talmidim, who svarim hakadoshim b'malos hatfilah shloyim haShabbos ayin l'kamon u'mashak asafti b'yin tefilah be'abal kerbi amakipurim. So going to mikvah on Shabbos is a big machlokes. I mentioned we discussed this last week. Halacha l'maisa, there are many people that are lenient, and they're so lenient they even go in a hot mikvah on Shabbos because they are of the opinion that in bizman hazeh we're all together cholim. We're not going there for pleasure. We're going there l'shem. Mitzvah, we are careful not to violate the laws of schita, not to violate the laws of haitzah, not to violate the laws of libun, and that is why in our day and age, people who want to be mekel have plenty of sources and plenty of precedent to be lenient in this matter. Now you go to halacha Hey, mutter lamoid al sas hanar. Person is allowed to stand at the edge of the river. Veluchay tziyada v'binar. The ain is the iser. There's no prohibition. Mashahu moitzias amayim shal yada v'binar al sas. There's no prohibition when you transfer water from the river to the river bank. Why not? When you take water from the river into the river bank, why is that not called a problem of hoitzah? I'm going from one rishus to another rishus. The answer is lefish shahanar hu karmelus usfas hanar hu gamkin karmelus. Both rishuyos are identical. The river has the status of a karmelus, and the river bank has the status of a karmelus. So you're going from one karmelus to another karmelus. That is permitted as long as you do not travel more than dalid amos. Umotu lahoitzi mi karmelus the karmelus bepachos mi arba amos. Just be careful and not give yadav heitiv kodim shiluch arba amos. Be careful to dry your hands perfectly before you travel from the river bank, because then you will be traveling with the water, excess water, more than dalid amos. Halacha vav, motu loshef yada demursin. You're allowed to use a certain type of soap, bran. I guess they would use this as a soap, as a way to dislodge any dirt on your hands. Af al pi shayadaim rituvos, even if your hand is moist, and by doing so you're causing the bran to become soft. Uvavach lo yitein esamayim al mursin mamish, as long as you don't do it directly. What will be the problem with using mursin? You may come to have it may dissolve. And having a solid dissolve into a liquid is prohibited because of noilat. If it's not food, it's not in the framework of food, it's not something which is naturally eaten, and you're causing a liquid to turn into a solid, or vice versa, that is problematic, mishum noilat. And therefore, I will also lash avyod bevelach, and that's why you're not allowed to rub your hands with salt, the kol shekain deboiris, okay, there's some type of detergent, mishum denimuach,
in soap,
mishum denimuach, because it melts, it dissolves into a liquid, and dissolving into a liquid is noilat. And again, we have another problem with our modern day soaps, that it's nimareach, it's smoothing. When you transform something from one state, from a coarse state, into a state that's smooth, that is the malacha of meruach, of nimareach, of smoothing, and that's a secondary prohibition why you're not allowed to use a solid bar of soap. Even a liquid soap, a thick liquid gel soap, according to many opinions, is also because by washing with a gel, you're also causing it to be smoothed out and to extend it. It's not ikra. I think it's a very big chumrah, but it's been accepted to follow that chumrah when it comes to a thick gel soap. If it's very thin, a thin soap, like all the Shabbos soaps, and so on and so forth, so that is acceptable in our day and age. On the bottom, we have halacha itzov on the bottom, the kol shkem beboiris, I'm be berhetev, b'shem ha... I don't know who that is. Shin gimel v'shem shut ginas v'radim shakosav de'ein limchoyz piyat hanoigim l'hakel. You don't have to make a macha. People who use soap don't make a macha. Technically, it's not necessarily to do anything wrong. It's not called mimareach. It's not mimareach, and it's not noilat. The ayin b'nezer yishol shevi b'pacha yitzchak. I'm not sure which pacha yitzchak is referring to. Could be there's a kadmoin. This is the Kerbiris, Shehelu Lahalacha, the Mutalichot Siyad, the Boris, he passed that you're allowed to use this thing called Boris on Shabbos. Omnam. I am a Mishnah Bura, B'Shem Tiferes Yishol, the Boris Shalonu, our Boris. I guess there are different types of Boris. Shuracha, that is soft. Lukuli Alma, also Mishum Mimachik. You're smoothing, you're straining, you're changing its form. Vehevi Sham, the Gam Yishach, Reinim Le'isser, Minig Yishol, Lahachim, Rezayin Sham. We once discussed this. The Minig is not to use soap on Shabbos. Tachin Kosa, B'Shut, Be'er Chaim, Mordechai. Tachin Hu Minig Yishol, Le'esser, Ayin Sham. Okay, let's now go to the next simon deals with animals. Shvisa. Oh no! So there's one more halacha. I'm sorry. One halacha. And I realize one halacha. Mayim halacha zayin. Mayim she'en aderech luchayitz b'chem el lerufuah kagoyim shem roim oyim usim, water that is not clean. And the only reason why you want to use water is for medicine, also luchas from Shabbos, kevan shenika shahu mechaven lerufuah. Anytime you are doing something which is obvious to an observer that it's l'shem refu, it's usser. Why are you not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos? You may come to grind up the ingredients into fine powder, and that is a melacha derais of toichein. So all forms of medicine, all forms of refuah for a person, for a healthy person who has what's called the mechush ba'alma. That's the rule. The person is healthy. He's a healthy person. He has a mechush, a slight discomfort. And if he's told that he can't take the medicine, he can't take an aspirin, he can't take a certain refuah, he won't blink, it won't bother him. Okay, so I'll survive. It's not going to bother me for the remainder of the day. That is the type of person that is not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, because if we allow him to take medicine next Shabbos or next time, he may not have the medicine available, and he may take the ingredients and he may grind it up and do malacha deraisa of teichin. However, a person, it's beyond the point of mechush, but he's begeder a choyle, that's a much later state. It's a choyle, he's not a healthy person, he's a choyle, it's not just a mechush, he is allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Chazal never went so far to prohibit the taking of medicine on Shabbos. Even though one will ask that in our day and age, you never saw a person that does not have available an Advil will go into his closet and start taking out various herbs and minerals and take out some machinery and start grinding and start making powder, the equivalent of an Advil. It's not going to happen today. Today we're not skilled in making our own medicine, so there's no chash. It doesn't matter. It is minug avosenu biyodenu. Since the halacha was originally instituted that a healthy person that has a mechush bialma is not allowed to take medicine, because there was a real concern 1,000 years ago that this healthy person, if he does not have the medicine available, will take, go to the backyard and take some vegetables and herbs and make for himself some type of homemade remedy for his illness. It was a real concern, and today it's never going to happen. No one's going to do these type of things today. It doesn't make a difference. That's the nature of halacha in the Orthodox world.
What can be taken? What can be taken?
Nothing can be taken. A person who is healthy. You have to do, you have to. A big headache is called, can be called a chayla. We're very, very lenient. This is not something which can be clearly defined. Every person has to judge. It's a judgment call.
Vitamins. No.
Vitamins is general. There are different types of. What are you taking the vitamins for? Okay, vitamin is not clear. Some
preventive.
Yes.
It just stay healthy.
It's not necessarily because he's sick.
Vitamins, I think, generally is mutter. It's not so clear. What?
I take it to make my wife happy.
Like the person who has two cell phones. Why does he have two cell phones? One is not enough. Because if my wife calls, she can't get a busy signal. Today there's call waiting, right? There's call waiting now, so you just hang up on the other person. Okay, but the rule, general rule is medicine, that if a person is in the category of healthy, and the reason why he wants to take medicine is because he has what is called a mechush. Mechush is a very hard word to translate. A sensation, a slight discomfort. Slight discomfort. It's usur. You're not allowed to take an aspirin. You're not allowed to take, I don't know, anything in the medicine cabinet for a slight discomfort. If a person makes an assessment about himself that it's not any longer a slight discomfort, it is a major discomfort, it's no longer called a mechosh, he's no longer called a bari, he's a choyla, an ill person, it's a different ball game. Then you are allowed to take medicine. That's basically it. If you already have to ask a shayla, it's usually at the state where it's mutter. That's usually, if someone already is coming to the rabbi and says, I have a splitting headache, I'm going out of my mind, can I take 3 Advils? Then the answer is yes. If you already had to come ask me the question, because you're in so much pain, obviously it's not a mechush, you're a chayla, and you're allowed to take medicine. Okay, it was very, very makel. I remember my father telling a lot about Labatim is that the thing that Bisman Hazeh, it's near impossible for a person to come to this situation where he'll grind up ingredients to make his own medicine. So that's a sniff to be very lenient in taking medication on Shabbos. So if a person has something which is even a suffix, am I in the category of a mechush, or maybe it's a little bit more than a mechush? Since the chashash that akana is schita samimonim, it's not going to happen today. You can be mekel already. You can take the medicine. But if it's still a real mechush, just a mechush, then you have to follow the halacha. You're not allowed to take medicine. Let's go further. So when it comes to water, let's say the water is filthy, dirty water, and the only reason why a normal person would immerse in such water is because it has some properties, some beneficial properties for his illness. So it's clear to an observer, the only reason why you're going for a dip is for refuah, and you are a healthy person, and what you're doing is only lemechush, it's only because you have some minor sensation, it's aser. But if you're going into a bath, and the bath is clear, the water is clean, and you know that in your mind the only reason why you're going into this bath, this cold water bath, is because you want to get the benefit of the medicine that is in the water. And to the observer it's not obvious, because to the observer they'll think the reason why you're going for a dip is because you're hot, you're dirty, you're filthy. It's not because of refuah. That type of situation is mutter. That is the exception to the halacha. Only when you delay, when you're there for a long period of time. If a person is just going for a dip, and it's not obvious that he's going into the water because he has medicine, he's going to because he's hot, then it's mutter. Uvechame tferia, hot springs of tferia, uchadoyme, im ein haderech lirchoitz b'chem elo lirfuah, if it's only customary to dip one for refuah, also lirchoitz b'chem b'shabbos lirfuah, afilu ein shoy b'chem, since the only reason why you would dip in the chamei tferi is for refuah, it's obvious to an observer that you're going l'shem refuah, it's the problem of marasayin, and therefore you're not allowed to immerse in chamei tferi at all on Shabbos. Okay, let's now go to the laws of animals. Now this is not nogei halacha l'maisa for most of us. Most of us do not own horses, not at least that I know of, or have cows and sheep and all different types of farm animals. Anyone have a farm at home? I'm not aware of.
In New Jersey, do what you
okay, I'm talking about over here in this room.
A cow in the backyard in East New York.
Okay, but it can be nogeh when it comes to a dog. People have dogs and cats. That can be nogeh halacha l'maisa. There's something called shvisas behemtoy. Okay, let's see the first halacha. There's a lot of elaboration. Obviously, in Hungary, people had a lot of animals, all different types of animals, and there are many different applications of this halacha. But there are a lot of yisoidos that he brings out. So let's start. Ksivit says, it says in the Torah in the Aseres Hadibros, Leman Yanuach Shorcha V'Chamorcha V'Chol Behemtecha. On Shabbos, not only are you required to rest, your ox, your donkey, and all of your animals must be at rest on Shabbos. Hare, ki hisira hatara shagam habehema shal yisrael tonuach, it must rest. Veloi behema bilvat, not only must animals rest, elo kol balei chayim, any living creature that you own. Ulchein, therefore, also lo niach lebehemto shetotzi is a masu, you're not allowed to allow your animal to carry on Shabbos. Whatever you cannot do, your animal cannot do. If I cannot carry, my animal cannot carry. Therefore, if my animal is wearing something which is not considered part of its attire, it's not wearing a suit, and it, you know, besides its regular mode of dress, anything extra is called a masa and it is also shafilu yotze malea me'alecha bereshus rabim v'yotzi a masa. Even if the animal on its own went out on Shabbos carrying a burden, avar who the owner has violated alecha because of the animal, the mitzvah al shvi al asay shel toira and isra semen atara of behemtai v'af davar shehu lo l'noi, even something which is only for beauty, b'chamaka mahari masa. If you have on the animal something which is only for l'noi, for beauty, but it's not something which is considered to be part of something which gives benefit for the animal, it is aser. Aval davar shehu l'refuah l'refuasa. Animal has a wound, and a person put a bandage on the wound. That's called a levush to the animal. And just like a human being is allowed to wear a levush, so the animal can wear a levush. Anything which is needed for protection, for example, a leash. Har v'havi loy kama malbush lo adam umuteres lot say spo and is permitted. The af al mashu rak l'shmira yisera haaser. However, even when it comes to this l'shmira, too much shmira becomes a burden. V'chein el givus in the next halacha are different examples of what it means too much of a shmirah. Let's say he's wearing something which is insufficient to guard or to control the animal, it becomes a burden. Even though other animals use this type of object for their protection, nevertheless, for this animal it's considered to be a burden, and it's also if the animal goes with it on Shabbos. Okay, now let's go to some very interesting yesodos here in the Shi'arim Mitzuyanim Halacha. It targets upon things which affect us in many areas of Halacha. Aleph. Ayin b'shod l'vushim Mordechai shenishal b'in shinui hazman b'kader ho'olam. First thing he talks about is, before we even begin this, I want to just point out one thing that does not mention here before we begin, is what about, oh, he has this on halacha base. Okay, so we'll leave it for that. We'll get there in soon. Okay. First he is Ayin b'shod, let's start again. Ayin b'shod l'vushim Mordechai shenishal b'in shinui hazman b'kader ho'olam, with regard to time zones in the sphere of the world. Shebemokam shabolim oimdim miskadim shkias hashemesh v'ashabos m'maheris lavo, where a person is living, Shabbos has begun. However, unechosim, but his property in behemos yesh lahabaylim exists to the owner. Bemokam shemisacher shkias hashemesh, another part of the world where it's not yet Shabbos. V'sham hashabbos misacher lavo oil heba, all the way around. Let's say he, for him, it's not yet Shabbos, but where his property is located, Shabbos has already begun. So the question is, Mahu le'inyin shvisas behemoisav, iyaz linon bosar agavre b'mekoimam v'abehemos achreihem migrodim. All depends on where the owner is. Bishvisasan, a name of the Bahamim, Bishvisasan, totally Lufi Oifak Hamokam, pointing to the Oifak Mekoimam, the environment of where they're located. Okay, so this shaila is, you live in New York and you own cattle in Los Angeles. So Los Angeles Shabbos will start 3 hours later. It's going to start 3 hours later. So the question now is, if I am in New York and it's Shabbos has begun, am I required to make sure that my animals in Los Angeles are not doing malacha, are not carrying loads in the field? Same thing. That's a tenant. I'm not mechuyif for the shvisas of my tenant. I'm talking about an animal. Now let's take a step back. I want to clarify something. We just touched upon something to make clarify. There's something called shvisas behemtoi and there's something called shvisas kalim. Are you allowed to recharge electrical appliances on Shabbos? I'm not allowed to use them on Shabbos. I am not allowed to plug in the electrical appliance if I want on Shabbos. Yeah, am I allowed to recharge my cell phone? Am I allowed to recharge all of my electrical devices on Shabbos? Am I allowed to plug them in on Shabbos? Of course not.
No.
So am I allowed to do before Shabbos? But it's operating on Shabbos. The utensil is accepting an electric charge. That is a malacha. Let's assume it's a malacha device, a malacha d'rabbanan. How am I allowed to let my kalim, my objects, do malacha on my behalf on Shabbos when I am not allowed to do malacha? The answer is there's absolutely no prohibition to let your kalim, your utensils, do malacha. There's something called shvisas behemtoi. Living creatures may not do malacha on Shabbos, but objects, inanimate objects, 100% are allowed to malacha. You can leave the stove on. The Nair. How are you allowed to let the refrigerator on? How are you allowed to let an electrical light on? Am I allowed to light the Nair on Shabbos? No. How then am I allowed to light the Nair before Shabbos and have it provide illumination on Shabbos? But it's doing malacha for me on Shabbos. Shvisa, there is no requirement of shvisas kalim, utensils. I have a nair with oil and a wick. It's a utensil. The utensil is allowed to do melacha on my behalf on Shabbos. This prohibition is unique to animals. If I own a horse, a dog, a cat, a living creature, whatever melacha I may not do, my animal may not do on Shabbos. It's only limited to animals. Now that we've got that out of the way, way, let's discuss the case at hand where the animals are located in a different time zone. So is it, does what are the rules? Does it follow its own personal time zone, or does it follow my time zone? And this has a nafkamina, bein lukula, bein luchumra. Now this is not only unique to shvisas kalim, this also applies to mechiras chametz. This is very common. People go away to Eretz Yisrael, and there they are going. They're going to Eretz Yisrael, and they're selling chametz in America. So the chametz in America will typically be sold by the rabbi when it's supposed to be sold Erev Pesach. But Erev Pesach, it's already long after the Issur of owning chametz has begun for the people who are in Eretz Yisrael. So indeed, they have to go have a special mechira. Some rabbanim have two separate mechiras. A lot of them already don't. A lot of them just do one mechira early. And it's a kula. You don't have to mamish do it. Lechatchila, you should do it Erev Pesach. But because of all the complications, a lot of rabbanim are just doing away with it. They're just doing one mechira the night before. The night before, even though it's not ideal, but you conquer all time zones. Well, you don't have to be chayish if someone's going to the North Pole, something like that. Unless that you have to find out about. But generally, anyone that's going away will be included in the mechira that's done.
The thing is, if you have the next day, which, I mean, many years ago when I didn't know any better, I mean, somebody came to me the last minute, or I got the check in the mail, Chol Hamoed. I asked
Reb Dovid,
he said that he
sold the chametz last year. Last year, right. So then you assume that it was nichlal. There are a lot of kulas. You assume that it's nichlal. I know a story, higher story. A Rav, he lost all the shtaros. He lost, here's the story. The Rav, or the Baal Batim come, they ride up as a lot of Baal Batim, he can't find it. The biggest nightmare a Rav can ever have. It's Erev Pesach, he can't find the shtaros. He can't find all the balabatim what they wrote, and it's, what is he going to do? And so he called up Major League Pesach, and he said to him, "Go ahead with the mechira. Go to the guy and tell the guy I'm selling all the chametz, and the shtaros, we have it somewhere." Don't know. And we'll get it to you. We'll eventually get it to you. And the Rav said it can't be that it's in the garbage. You have to have a right to assume al pi halacha that it's misplaced. A Rav doesn't throw out his shtaris. It doesn't happen. So al pi halacha, you have the right to assume they're somewhere. And it's good enough to tell the guy, I'm selling you all the chametz that's written on the shtaros, wherever they may be, and as soon as we find it, we will send it over to you, and it's a good mechira, and you don't have to worry. Al pi halach, it's a kosher mechira, whether you find it or not. Incredible chiddush lahalacha. That's what you do. Hefker bezet hefker.
We had in Eretz Yisrael that on Erev Pesach when the Rav in the Moshav said that he, whatever happened, he missed the mechira. He got into town. It's very
before after the zman.
He blew the zman. So he ran back to the yeshiva and he told everybody to have to burn the hummus. Everybody, we used bonfires. The big thing was the makolet. He had empty outer shells, and it cost him like $1,000. And then that time was a long time ago. They asked the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I mean, his son was already the guy in charge over there. So he said, "You didn't have to burn everything because it's for the other Kinyanaga, basically whatever." He told him, "You didn't have to burn it." And so he went, and he was mighty that he told everybody to burn it for. So they made him pay the monk. They made the rabbi pay the monk all back all the money, and then they fired him.
And then they spit him out.
That's his reward.
Okay, so this you have the same Shiloh. Where when it comes to mechiras chametz, where are you? Okay, another very common Shiloh is internet marketing, online commerce. You have a website. Okay, I don't know what is B&H do. B&H, they shut down the shopping cart on Shabbos. Okay, the B&H, the website is operational on Shabbos, but you can't buy anything. You can browse. You can probably put things in your shopping cart, but you can't check out. There's no checkout on Shabbos. Now, that's what I was told. I don't know. I didn't try it on Shabbos. But the question is, what do they do? That's in New York. They're located, their brick and mortar shop is in New York. But there are people that are coming to their website all over the world. All over the world. All over the world. Shabbos starts, there's a 12-hour change before and later. So how far, when do they shut down their shopping cart? And the truth is today, it's no big deal. Every time you come to a website, the website automatically knows where you are. You are based upon your IP address. It's a database. Instantly, it tells you, so they instantly know exactly based upon the
program it.
If it's Shabbos for you, if the IP is in a part of the world where it's Shabbos, then the shopping cart is closed. If the IP is from a location where it's Shabbos, so they can do that. Today, that's not a big deal. But years ago, it was more common. Now, even though it's not a big deal, but not everyone wants to invest in the time and effort to do this. You have to have a programmer. The programmer has to do it right. Has to have the right script. You know, it's a time and effort, and always going to be glitches, and you have to do it right. Are you mechuyev? How far? It would be just a lot easier. Okay, I'll shut down Tosfos Shabbos. We'll shut down now before Shabbos and an hour after Shabbos. How far do you have to go to take into consideration where your clientele, people are going to purchase things the part of Shabbos? Maybe I'm here in New York. As far as I'm concerned, business is what I'm doing. It's not Shabbos. Or maybe I need to take into consideration Lifnei Iver that the people are going to purchase something online. They are in a different part of the world where it's Shabbos. What about the other way around? For me, it's not Shabbos. For me, it is Shabbos. But for them, it's not Shabbos. So why should I lose out on business? The answer is, well, it's Schar Shabbos. So there's Nisr of Lifnei Iver, and there's Nisr of Schar Shabbos. So all of these things are issues when you're dealing with different time zones. And that's
New York, and I have a property in California.
Yeah.
Jewish contractor working there?
Same issue. So there, he's doing malacha on your behalf. You're paying him. He's doing malacha. You are deriving benefit from malacha that's being done on Shabbos. He's not being mechal Shabbos. He's doing it for his own benefit. But you are deriving benefit from a malacha that is being done on your Shabbos. Is it called your Shabbos? Where I am right now, it's not right. Where I am now, it's Shabbos. But where the malacha is being done, it's not Shabbos. So how do you deal with this? So
it depends on how you pay.
What? That's yes and no, not necessarily. Even if that's when it comes to a guy, the issue of how you pay him is when you pay to a guy. When it comes to a guy, it's kaplanus. So then the guy is doing it for his own benefit. But when you're dealing with a Jew, is it the same? Maybe you're right. Maybe there's a higher standard when you're dealing with a Jew, because the Jew is still doing malach. I don't know the answer. I don't know. That idea of kaplanus is typically apply to paying a non-Jew for his services. A non-Jew has absolutely no obligation to observe Shabbos. And a non-Jew is not your agent. Shluchai shalad by a guy, we don't say there's a din of shlichos, maker hadin. Midrabanan, Amir Liakim, we're a little bit machmir, but it's not maker hadin. By another Jew, when you hire a person to do something on your behalf, do we say, even though it's contractual work, maybe there is a gather of shlichos? It's considered that you're deriving malacha from Chil Shabbos. I don't know the answer. I don't think there are clear answers. There are a lot of different opinions. And also, here's what's very critical is, what applies in one area of halacha is not necessarily the same in a different area of halacha. The rules of Shabbos operate in its own rules. The rules of Shvisas Behemto have its own set of rules. The rules of Mechiras Chametz have its set of rules. The rules of Schir Shabbos. Every area of halacha has a different set of rules for time zones. So you're just throwing this.
Look at the difference of Chametz, 3 hours from here.
Yes.
We can decrease 1/3 of the wages. Not to get it because
okay, that's a different sugya. That's a complicated sugya. That's different. It's not the discussion here. Okay, let's see what it says here. Let's just finish. Veheishav he concludes here. Sheshayel zunishal bal chesel yavram leinyan chometz rapesach. So he wants to say, I don't know the answer when it comes to shvisas pamto, but let's try to extrapolate from the case of mechiras chometz. Here's the example. If there is a difference between the setting of the sun, Bein mokoyim ha-chametz l'mokoyim ha-balim imos ha-chalisim b'chiras chametz. When is the zman in b'chiras chametz? V'heishiv sham, v'akol nigra l'fi mokoyim ha-balim. So here, the Chesli Avram says it all depends on the location of the balim. Wherever you are, that's where the violation of Baal Yerohe and Baal Yimotze applies. If you are in Eretz Yisrael, you are 7 hours ahead, and your rabbi has not yet sold your chametz, you are in trouble. Because the Isra of owning chametz begins for you 7 hours in advance. So that halacha was said when it comes to the case of mechiras chametz. What about when it comes to shvisas pemos? Kvar nishalu hashelu zumigdil hadar v'huvu devrayim v'yalked Yosef v'agoin niba nidar v'oid, I don't know who this is. The old gedolim imo hiskimu diakoluf imokem habolim. The ikar is where you live. If you live in New York and it's Shabbos, you better make sure that your animals in California are not doing malacha. If you are living in Eretz Yisrael and you're 7 hours ahead, you better make sure when Shabbos begins, for you in Eretz Yisrael, that your animals in America are not doing malacha. V'yachad me'atay mishum di isur chametz v'isur shviz v'hem to isur gavra. That's the site. It's an isur gavra on the person, the owner of the object. And where I am, that's how the mitzvah is defined. V'yagoyin ba'alavushim mordechai sham heishav al devarim. He disagrees. V'helav da'azlim b'basam mekom ha'vemus. He disagrees. All depends on the location of the animals. V'yarech b'zev v'nasim tam l'zvar v'yachad me'atam hu de'hatar m'kosva b'chad kura b'heimo im eved. It compares an animal, the behemoth, with a slave. A slave is not dependent upon his master. The slave, the master lives in Eretz Yisrael, the slave lives, the Eved Kenani is living in America, the Eved Kenani can do malacha until the very last minute in America. The Eved Kenani is independent. So since the pasuk compares an animal to an Eved Kenani, so we have a right to assume that the animal also depends on the makom, not upon the gav, not upon the owner. Mitzaratzo, the hog mechuyev b'chol ha-mitzvos, b'gam mikoch ha-bolim, k'mo shevisas behema. U'me'ato im toima sheheim migrom achar ha-bolim, m'kein im ha-bolim heim makom ha-shabas, m'skadeim lovoi, gam o Eved tzach la'akdem b'shmur ha-shabas, u'metz ha-shabas sh-bolim m'mokom sh-kvar lochem chol, v'adayin mechuyev ha-Eved l'mshach sh-shabasai, l'fi oifak, the environment of mekoimoi of his place, to whom mechuyev l'shmur ha-shabas gam mikoch ha-tzimu kenal. But that's very illogical. That's not likely that we're going to say that principle when it comes to a slave. And the same, we don't say that by a slave, and since the repository compares an animal to a slave, so we don't follow where the owner is, we follow where the animal is. So what do we have over here in front of us? A machlekes hapoiskim. And therefore it's not really clear. So he does not conclude, he just basically says, if you have an animal in California and you're in New York, or you have an animal, you're in Eretz Yisrael, and you have an animal in America, or vice versa, are your animals allowed to work when it's Shabbos for you, and vice versa? It's not clear. And seemingly the best thing would be machmir both ways. To be machmir ben lekud ben lechumra, and Eretz Yisrael, the animals were not allowed to do malacha when Shabbos begins for you, but the animals cannot do malacha even if Shabbos ends for you. You have to wait until Shabbos ends in New York as well. Okay, then he discussed one quick topic before we conclude, and this is an amazing topic. The first time you hear this, you're shocked out of your mind. The first time you hear such a halacha. I remember the first time I heard this, I couldn't even believe it. It was true. But it's true. We have a halacha that if you own animals, the animals may not do malacha, the animals may not carry anything out on Shabbos. Let's say a woman owns the same animal. You give the animals to your wife. You know what? I'm not going to own the animal. I'm being machneh 100%. You own the horse. You own the donkey. You own the cow. Is an isha mechuyev in shvisas behemtai? Nope.
No.
Shvisas behemtai is a mitzvah sasei. So this sasei, and noshim are part mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So women are not mechuyev in shvisas behemtai. Shocking.
It is.
Doesn't it sound shocking, right? So you appreciate the shock. That's what it says. The gam, so he writes, so it's not so simple. He writes over here, Habehemos, Shalishol, look what he writes, Ayin v'prima gadim, de gam noshim chayavos bi'asei de shvisas behema. Really? It's not so best the prima gadim. Not everyone agrees with the prima gadim. V'yayin v'taisvis de nestabik v'zeh, v'ayin v'tferes yishol b'chidushim sham shehela de maseres kamim shiz mutter. However, not so fast. Go v'ayin v'shashem aryeim shemitzad loymar shemikoyach divrei ha'taisvis de noshim yipaturim mimayim exempt peturim mimayiseh de shvisas behemtai. That's what's mashm taisis. Taisis mashma. Taisis. This is Beferish's is part. The potter. The potter. The hisik al devermi disarusa. Now lefin ze haya hiknel haya takana. Because according to that solution, that if a person has animals, he's living in Eretz Yisrael, and he realizes, wait a minute, I have a farm in New York, and the animals are going to be doing work for me. They mean plowing and planting and carrying on Shabbos. So what are you going to do? So right before your wife in Eretz Yisrael lights candles, you say, you go over to your wife with a handkerchief and say, I want you to pick up the handkerchief, make a kinyan. By picking up the handkerchief, I want to transfer ownership of my multi-million dollar business in New York. It should be your property. And now she owns the animals. Oh, so whatever you gain, you have gained that you will not violate Shvisas Behemto. And she's not Mechuyiv. She is not Mechuyiv in Shvisas Behemto. Because Shvisas Behemto is a mitzvah sasei. Asei shezman grom. It's only 1 week she's exempt. Hoyetakona. And that would allow the goyim who's owning those, who's running the business, to operate the animals on Shabbos because there's no shvis behemtai b'Shabbos. V'dafka le'isha she'en la'bal. Then he goes on to say that this heter we can make use of only a woman that does not have a husband. De'i lav hachi lo. Why? Because of the print. We could get around this as well. Generally speaking, the masha konsa isha konabal. Generally, what a woman owns is not really her own. But that's not a problem. You can get around that. You can write up documents where you can get around.
Conditional.
The best thing was be marketing to a child, to a young girl. Because she does not have a husband yet. So therefore, she. Oh, you don't have the problem. Masha konzi, she konabal. Look at time. The yesh svar loymar. The afgedol leinu mitzuv bebezas say zos. Even go to them. Then gedol it's not mitzuv bebezas say zos. The shvisas bemba. The ego. Tartel tivus. You have your combination. The aviketano. The gamli keiva. It's not like you're doing according to an avera. It's better than the yafki habehema. The other solution would be people do strange things when they're very desperate. What's the strange thing people do when they're very desperate? You have guests coming off of Shabbos, and you have kalim, brand new, beautiful, exotic utensils. Guess what? You forgot to be tovel them in the mikvah. So what are you going to do? You're going to be embarrassed. So you know what you're going to do? I'm mafker them. Really? You mafker them? Only pay $5,000? Yeah, I'll be mafker them. So when you mafker them, you don't need to be tovel.
You have to go.
In front of 3 people. In front of your wife and your son and daughter. I hereby declare that we're going to be embarrassed, very embarrassed from front of the mechutanim in 5 minutes. It's going to ruin my future shidduchim for you, my son, and my daughter. And therefore, we don't want word to get out that we use paper plates. And therefore, we have to use these kelim. We forgot to be table them. So I'm going to hereby be mafka them in front of you, 3 people, my wife, my son, and my daughter. But don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. We don't want people coming and taking them away. It works. And guess what? People do this. People do this when they're very desperate. When you're very desperate, you do some very strange things. It works. It's a legal loophole. What? You don't have to. You only have to tell from a kelim that you buy. You purchase from a non-Jew. But kelim that you acquire from Hefker do not require tefillah b'mikvah. So are you allowed to do this? So this is something which you really should not do. But when people are very desperate, this is a solution. So here he talks about the people, they had animals and they went out of town. Okay, it seems like it wasn't so uncommon. People have animals, they own farms, and the farms are controlled, run by goyim, and the goyim you work at very that Shabbos, they don't work on Shabbos. But now you find yourself on the other side of the world. It's Friday night. And now you realize, wait a minute, I have a farm in New York, in Los Angeles, 10 hours behind, and they're going to be working on Friday morning there. So you go to the Rav. So the Rav says, be mafkerit. but don't tell anyone. Mafka the animals. If you're not going to be mafka the animals, you're going to be over and say of shvisas behemtov. You're not mechuyev to tell anyone, to make a phone call and reveal to Lord that it's mafka. You're mafka it. So technically speaking, you're mafka. You're okay. But al pi halacha, it's still yours. That's so it's much better to give it to a child, because by giving it to a child, that's a much, she's not even mechuyev in the mitzvah. It's a much better solution to makna your animals to a katana, a young girl, so she has two things going for her. She's not married, there's no problem, mashakon se ishakon abala, and according to some rishonim, we have very strong ground to suggest that noshim in general are exempt from shvisas behemto, so you have a piece of a solution. She could accept, she can't give it back to you. It's a one-way street. You don't get it back from her until she becomes an adult. You trust her. That's right. A person who gives the lulav and esrog to a child, the whole sukkah, it's not your lulav and esrog. And the parent buys, father buys a lulav and esrog. It has to be lochem. And the first day you take it and you give it to the child, and then you give it to the child. Matan al manas lahachzir. It's a one way street. When you give it to your child, he takes, doesn't give back. It's like real life. You take it, you don't give back. So therefore, don't give it, don't let the child make the bracha before you. Because if you give it to the child before you, you're not going to be Eitzah the first day. The first day, it must belong to Lochem.
This Eitzah here, Shimon and Eitzah, give it to the Katana. So you can't get it back.
That's right, you got it. You can't get it back. It's hers until she becomes an adult, and she gives it back to you. Gam yochel achnas abehim lekatan lekotn shel echa at the banav the yesh v'zem shem chinuch the mechuyv lehachne lechancham abukatan shel achel leshach mitzvah chinuch v'lechein veis atzerch shelo yikash shelo hisrael biaseh the shvizas behem yesh lachnas lekatan shel ich acher. Okay, don't give it to your own child because that's setting a bad example. You're mechuyev in chinuch in your own child. You're not mechuyev in chinuch. That's a really bizarre halach here. V'yasas kaidim haShabbos v'yesh b'zeh kol atzadim shamed le'el ayin sham ve'ayin b'shut zech yohisef mashkosa b'zeh v'ayin b'shur yemincha shevi gam divrei harash hagoyin Rav Shlomo hakoyim yivilna way too far to go. Shaddai tishein lismechal zeh lehakel derabay hamachmi minfi hamachmes halach le'vaisa. He just points out this fascinating, run this by someone, the shocking chiddush is that women are not, it's not 100% clear that an isha is mechuyev in the mitzvah shvisas behemtoi, and that would be a solution what to do when you find yourself in a situation where you're in a different time zone and you have animals that are working on Shabbos, to give it to an isha, to your wife, or at least to a ketan. Okay, we'll stop here, 2 minute break, and we'll do